Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Matcast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is specifically for those who are in trouble. And of course, I'm speaking about those who find themselves confused and troubled in their hearts. In the Old Testament, the heart is referred to the nephesh. In the Greek New Testament, it is referred to as the psyche. And in English, of course, we use the term for the word soul. But you and I know that in the West, we find that mental health issues among our system is growing. It is a growing phenomenon. Not a phenomenon that is decreasing. It is a phenomenon that is growing. We are also finding that there's a great increase in prescription medication that is being written for depression. And it is interesting that, to me, that at one of the mental health board meetings that I attended here of late, and I'm a member of the mental health board in my community, that we were informed by a very credible source that one of the most prevalent issues that we have today, that many persons are going in to the emergency part of the hospital in order to have their depression treated. So, why is this phenomenon growing? Why is there is an increase and those with mental health needs? What is going on within our country that we find ourselves in this situation? It is interesting that as persons have been taught not to consider commitment to faith as a vital part of their lives, or if commitment to faith has been negated, persons find themselves lost, without a compass, without a true sense of direction in life. And so, because persons are lost, there is this malaise of the spirit that is prevalent in our country. Yes, people may have any number of distractions, but have you noticed that the chosen distractions are becoming more deadly? And people are lashing out on others because they feel that their lives have become, as one writer of old called it, an air-conditioned nightmare. Or one of the existentialist writers has written hell is other people. Oz Guinness, in an old book of his, talks about the striptease of humanism in the West, the striptease of humanism, and the fact that when God has been tossed out, one has created us in an environment in which persons have no relationship with that which is ultimate and therefore real. And Oz Guinness notes that this phenomenon is akin to Nietzsche's The Madman, who goes into the town square and says to those who are gathered about him, "My time is too soon, my time is not yet. This marvelous event is still on its way." And so persons today are looking into the abyss. There is despair abroad. And yes, it may not be talked about through certain sources, but it is nonetheless real. And so this morning's show is about heart trouble. That is that agitation, that awareness, that one is at a loss spiritually. So I'm going to read you from John chapter 14, or the first verse I'm going to read this morning. This is John 14:1. This is the Jesus speaking. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." King James Version reads mansion. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to pray that place for you. And if," or that word should read since, "and since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I," here the "I" is ego, the word is ego in Greek, and it is in an emphatic position, "that where I am," the present indicative, state of being, or "where I am, there you may be also." And so this is a direct statement that he makes to his disciples. He gives, or he makes this statement to them while he is with them on the eve of the passion and the crucifixion. It is interesting to me that he does not seek to be comforted of or by his disciples. He instead comforts them. He knows what they will be facing shortly. He knows the trauma that that is going to insult their vision of them. And so therefore, they're going to be taken aback by incredible fear and anger, too. But he tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." So that one might have an anchor of the soul, it is imperative that we as persons as we as a believing community look to our faith, look to God, trust in God as the one who will provide an anchor of the soul. God's business is the cure of soul. That is his business through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is interesting to me that God's Spirit regenerates the heart that has been ruined by sin. God regenerates the lost heart. Apoleia is the Greek word, and apoleia is transliterated as lost, but it actually means that which is ruined. That which is ruined. The Holy Spirit regenerates or provides a rebirth, a regeneration to that heart. Please note that Genesis 1 deals with a literal creation. Literal creation. The verb bara in the beginning, Elohim created. Or Bereshit bara Elohim. Bara is a verb. It's a verb that is in the cow. Simple active in Hebrew that only refers to God. God did not use any pre-existing material. God did not have some random, I use that tongue-in-cheek, some random amino acid or that in the pre-biologic soup that happen to hook up to other amino acids to start forming a long protein chain. And even if that were to happen, and it is unlikely that that would happen, these amino acids and that would hook up into protein chains would need a metabolic motor in order to create energy, in order to replicate. And so here and then to create the macromolecules. It is improbable that that ever happened. But God is the creator. He regenerates the soul. And what we're looking at in Genesis 1 and the first verse, the first few verses, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And the Spirit of God does his creative work because we find that the earth was in cakes, was frozen, and that was an impenetrable darkness, a darkness that could be felt. This is the same darkness that's used in the book of Exodus that refers to the darkness that God brought over the land of Egypt when he judged that land. But Genesis 1 is about creation, recreation. It is a picture not only of God's powerful work in physical creation. God says that he created the universe with his little finger, but that Isaiah wrote that God bared his arm for our salvation. Our salvation was a mighty work. Our salvation was an incredibly mighty work. It involved the power of God. And so we talk about God's saving action. God's saving action. The same in the Christ event. And so it is vital to have that relationship with God and understanding who he is and the fact that God saved us, that our salvation took a vast amount of power. We are being held by God's power so that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about our relationship with God in a marvelous way. He says to us that in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called, to Leo, the called out one, according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So this is our collective destiny, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. That means made right before his eyes. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Notice we're all in the past tense. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Or shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God the justified? Verse 35. Who shall separate us out from the love of Christ? Tribulation. Very important word for us. Ellipsis, a word that means to be crushed. Or the next word, or distress. Stenokoria, a word that means to be strained, to be taut, to be on edge, to be strained almost to the breaking point. Or persecution. This word persecution in the Greek New Testament literally means to be hunted down as a wild animal, or famine, that is without food, the scarcity of food, the lack of food, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we are, and this is important to understand, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the Greek text reads, we are hooper nikomen, or we are super conquerors. It means to vanquish beyond, to gain a decisive victory through him that loved us. And so it is imperative for the believing one to have his heart filled with truth. The psalmist states that God desires truth in the inward parts, that is, in our soul, in the nephesh, or in the suke. God desires truth, his truth, in the soul, This is our anchor of the soul, the truth of God, the inculcation of the truth of God makes us strong and stabilizes our hearts. This is our cure for heart trouble. And of course, I have to use the adjective spiritual, heart trouble, but you and I know that which impacts the heart, that is, of the soul, also plays out on the body. The book of Proverbs tells us about the impact that thoughts that go on, that originate in the soul, have on the body. In Proverbs 14:30, we read, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Now, I did research on this verse in medical journals, and what I found was fascinating. And this one particular article related how our thoughts impact our body in a very specific manner. And notice what the writer has stated here, and understand that he is speaking of mind-body medicine. He is talking here about biblical cardiology. The Greek word for heart is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And so we're talking here about biblical cardiology, that which pertains to the heart. And so a nephesh at peace gives life to the body. If one is accustomed to reading over these words in a very casual manner, that is a behavior that must cease, because that is not appropriate Bible study. According to Psalm 1, it is important to meditate on the Word of God. It is important to develop a skill, the discipline skills of a Bible student. See, because we will profit spiritually if we spend time with God's Word. We profit mentally. We profit in our hearts spiritually. We profit physically. A heart at peace gives life to the body. It is interesting that he provides the contrast too, but envy rots the bones, the stem in Hebrew. Envy rots the bone. And please keep in mind that bone is human tissue, and that what goes on in our thought life mediates down through to the body. Now, I'm going to read from Bernard Siegel's book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. It is an older book, but it contains a great amount of wisdom that is still current. During this time. the mind does not, he writes, the mind does not act only through our conscious choices. However, many of its effects are achieved directly on the body's tissues without any awareness on our part. Consider some of our common expressions. He's a pain in the neck, or ASS. Get off my back. This problem is eating me up alive. You're breaking my heart. The body responds to the mind's messages, whether conscious or unconscious. In general, these may be either live or die messages. I am convinced we not only have survival mechanisms such as fight or flight response, but also a die mechanism that actively stops our defenses, showing the body's function and bringing us toward death when we feel our life is not worth living. Every tissue and organ in the body is controlled by a complex interaction among chemicals circulating in the bloodstream, the hormones secreted by our endocrine gland. This mixture is controlled by the master gland, the pituitary gland, located in the middle of the head just below the brain. The output of pituitary hormones, in turn, is controlled by both chemical secretions and nerve impulses from the neighboring part of the brain called the hypothalamus. This tiny region regulates most of the body's unconscious maintenance processes, such as heartbeat, breathing, blood pressure, temperature, and so forth. Nerve fibers enter the hypothalamus from nearly all other regions of the brain, so that intellectual and emotional processes occurring elsewhere in the body, in the brain, affect the body. For example, and this is very curious to me, for example, about 5 years ago, child development researchers discovered psychosocial dwarfism, a disturbingly common syndrome in which an unhealthy emotional atmosphere at home stunts a child's physical growth. When a child is caught in a crossfire of hostility and feels rejected by his or her parents, thereby growing up with little self-esteem, the brain's emotion center, or limbic system, acts upon the nearby hypothalamus to shut off the pituitary gland's production of growth hormone. So, when the biblical writers state that a heart at peace gives life to the body, he knows exactly what he is talking about. But envy rots the bone. It is important to understand that the spiritual is, our spiritual lives are vital, and that our relationship with God is vital, and that we dare not leave our spiritual lives in the hands of charlatans, of those who are not seeking, because this is about our lives and our lives, how we live our lives, what we think about our lives, who we are. We need to understand that we belong to God and that we are conjoined with him. If one, if we are believers in the ages. And so in order to have a rich relationship, one must have with oneself and others, one must have a rich relationship with God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matter Cause. Have a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.